Rebels, and welcome to another episode of Ramble On with Rosie. That would be me, your host Rosie, and I am here to tell you about good news, bad news, and sad news. The good news is these episodes will now be available as a podcast on both Spotify and iTunes, and if there's some other place you like to get your podcast, just let me know in the comments. And I will see if I can link up and post them on that posting site as well. Just let me know, and I'll try to accommodate. And that way you don't have to use your video data in order to watch these. And, you know, you don't have to look at my face. It's okay. You can hear me. It's about the music. It's not about me. So that's the good news. Spotify, iTunes, and if there's any other place you need podcasts, let me know, and I'll try to get it posted there. The bad news is that my hero behind me, and now that this will be on podcast, you won't be able to see me, my hero being little Steven Van Zandt, who I have a ginormous poster of to behind my right shoulder, did not make it into the Radio Hall of Fame in spite of his nomination, and I'm just a little salty and livid and possibly want to burn their establishment to the ground. You know, nothing major there. Just really sort of low-key enraged, because I thought he was, like, a sure win. I mean, as far as radio personality goes, good grief, the man has personality. He's... Underground Garage is the most important thing to happen to radio since Alan Freed. So, I'm a little PO'd that my inspiration back here did not make it into the Radio Hall of Fame this year. Maybe next year. Maybe the Radio Hall of Fame is like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I should just not care, because they never get it right. So, good and bad out of the way, and now to the sad, which I'm sure y'all know what's coming. The topic of this episode is going to be the life and influence of the late, great, and lamented Charlie Watts. It was so sad and astonishing to, you know, hear of his passing this past week, because, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but when I was thinking Stones members to die, I was not picking Charlie as the first to go in 50 years, as far as founding members go. Obviously, you had the loss of associated acts like Ian Stewart and Ronnie Lane, but as far as, like, consistent founding members go, was not expecting Charlie to be the one to go. But, I mean, 80 years is a good long life on this earth, and that's, you know, over 50 of those were spent giving us some of the best rock and roll tunes of all time. He played on every single Rolling Stones record, in spite of rock and roll not being his big passion. He actually was a jazz guy. That was his big influence. He was inspired to drum because he saw Chico Hamilton, Jerry Mulligan's drummer, play. And Jerry Mulligan, if you don't know, is a jazz artist. And that was his thing. And he played in the R&B clubs and in the revolving door of talent that was Alexis Corner's Blues Incorporated. Which, if you look that up on Wikipedia, it's basically a who's who of 60s British musicians in and out of that band. And that's actually where he met Brian, Mick, and Keith. Was when he was in Blues Incorporated. And they didn't think, really, that they could get him. They're like, this dude's too good for us. He's why is he... He wouldn't want to join our band. But he did, and the Stones were born, essentially. I think it was Keith Richards that said, the Stones weren't the Stones until we had Charlie Watts, and that is a statement that can be universally agreed with. So, that being the case, sorry, I think it's raining outside and I'm slightly distracted, but that being the case, Charlie, just huge loss. The influence of that man is inestimable, and I have a sad sinking suspicion that, like, the magazines who cover, you know, like, things like people like Life and People, who put out their issues whenever somebody passes, like they did for Eddie Van Halen last year, and they did for Prince and Bowie, and, usually whenever a fairly big name person passes, they have a special edition in their memory. I have a horrible feeling that Charlie's not going to get that, even though he deserves it just as much. He's a huge influence, and because he's the drummer, he's not going to get the credit he deserves, I'm afraid. So, I am here with this ramble this week to give him a little bit of the credit. I cannot do the man justice, but I will try as I share some fun facts with from his life. So, like I said, he was inspired by Chico Hamilton to drum. He had previously been trying to learn to play the banjo and disliked the dots on the fretboard. That is a quote that I read. I'm taking it as accurate. And so we took the fretboard off the banjo, and then after being inspired to try drums because of Chico Hamilton, he proceeded to use the banjo head as a drum until he acquired an actual, drum kit some point later down the road. His drumming skills, obviously, I don't need to cite his credentials. He's got over 50 years with the Rolling Stones. That's all the credentials you need. He did rank number 12 in Rolling Stone, the magazine's 100 greatest drummers of all time. So that's any genre. That's not just rock and roll. And he ranked number 12, which is pretty high up there. He's in some pretty prestigious company. I mean, 1, 2, and 3 are obviously Bonham, Moon, and Baker, but he's not far behind, as he rightly shouldn't be. By his own admission, he loved the groove. That was all he cared about. He didn't want to be the soloist, kind of like Keith Moon. They didn't care about their solos. Baker and Bonham were the solo boys, but they just wanted to be in sync with the rest of the band and fit in with their instrumentation, which they did. Obviously, both personality-wise and drumming-wise, Keith Moon is a little bit more chaotic than Charlie Watts was, but they, they can be mentioned in the same sentence, and it's not a overstatement or an understatement of one of theirs talent. So, he was about the groove. I believe it was Alice Cooper recently in a social media post after his passing, described him as like the perfect pocket drummer. He just fit in everywhere he needed to be, wasn't overstated, wasn't understated, was just the solid rock and beating heart of the Rolling Stones, both as a band instrument player and as a band member, being a place of reason in a band of chaos. I mean, you look at the Glimmer Twins and the Ronnie, Ronnie Lane, and I mean, and Ronnie Wood. I'm 90% sure Ronnie Lane was involved with the Rolling Stones. Forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm like pretty sure that he was. I know Ronnie Wood was. He still is. And they're not that outlandish. But good lord, Mick and Keith have a reputation. And then you've got rock solid Charlie, being the weight of the band. I mean, his significance is so not discussed enough, but so pervasive. I mean, when Bill Wyman left the Rolling Stones, Mick and Keith deferred to Charlie to choose a replacement for the bass player. Like, the Glimmer Twins, the singer-songwriters, the movers and shakers of this band recognized where the real authority lied, which was with their drummer, Charlie. And so they're like, "You pick a replacement for Bill." That says a lot. Also, while Mick and Keith were having a tiff with each other and Bill Wyman decided, hey, I'd like to make some music and my singer and my guitarist don't want to talk to each other right now, so hey, solo project! It was called Willie and the Poor Boys, and it was sort of, he'd collaborate with various other artists, quite frequently having Charlie on drums, of course, doing covers of like old soul and R&B songs that had inspired them earlier in their careers. You can watch a video on YouTube with where they cover Otis Redding's "These Arms of Mine," and it's pretty much the Stones, sans Glimmer Twins, and add in, these no names you've never heard of called Paul Rogers and Jimmy Page. It's well worth watching. It makes me smile. You can see some Charlie gets some camera time. You know, not quite as much as Jimmy, but I'd say he gets like third or fourth most amount of camera time in this video. So you can watch him grooving away. You also get a couple funny faces from Ronnie Wood, which is enjoyable. And it's just an enjoyable thing to watch. And it's, you know, interesting to see him out of the Stones and doing something else, even though this is basically the Stones on holiday while Mick and Keith hate each other. Everybody but Mick and Keith is here. And, so anyways, but that's not his only non-Stonesian project. He also, true to his real passions for jazz, had a Charlie Watts quintet and a Charlie Watts tentet, which he would tour around and do stuff with and do the jazz numbers that he enjoyed. So, like, his real sort of passion, you know, because rock and roll really wasn't his thing. It's actually funny, you read about it. And his wife Shirley loved the music, and she'd play the albums, but Charlie really didn't care if he heard the music he was making or again or not. It was a living, and it was a living where he was with his friends, because he was friends with, you know, his bandmates. So he's like, I like hanging with the guys, and I like drumming, and it puts food on the table, and this is my job, and I like it. Previously, actually, before, you know, taking flight with the Stones, he had been a graphic artist. And he actually designed some of the early Rolling Stones albums. Despite trying to research this, I couldn't find out which ones. I'm just gonna assume, like, the first three or four, because those kind of look similar, and then you get to things like Let It Bleed, and, like, you went off in a new direction, so I'm gonna guess that it was the first three or four Stones albums that he helped design, but I couldn't find any credits, which is frustrating, because I would love to be able to tell y'all which ones. I would like to know which ones. But, alas, could not find said information, so I'm just taking a stab and saying it's those first three or four where it's mainly photos of the band, it's not, you know, artworks per se. Though he was a talented artist, he would draw sketches of every single hotel room he ever stayed in, and he kept them. He joked that it might make a nice coffee table book one day. So who knows, maybe one of these days his estate, you know, his wife or his daughter will release us a coffee table book of hotel sketches by Charlie Watts. It'd be fun to see. I mean, over 50 years of hotel rooms would have to be, I mean, that's a journey through history. I totally want this to be a book, and, like, not just because it's a Stones and music thing, but because it'd be really fascinating to see the changes in hotel layout and decor and, you know, furnishings in an over 50-year span of time. But, excuse me. The graphic art was left behind in favor of, you know, being the drummer for the world's greatest rock and roll band. In spite of the fact he wasn't the hugest rock and roll fan, he was a jazz guy. Such a contradiction in terms that Charlie was. Speaking of his wife, that is probably one of the most admirable things outside of music that he contributed to the world, as a sterling example of, you know, care and fidelity when, I mean, good lord, he's in the Stones. He had more opportunities probably than you could shake a stick at to, you know, dishonor his wife. And instead, like, when the Stones got invited to Playboy Mansion, he inquired of Hugh Hefner where the game room was and occupied himself there rather than, you know, socializing and carousing with the bunnies. Which, I mean, that is such a gentleman's move. Respectful of his own, you know, self-respect and of his respect for his wife, which him and Shirley met in 1960, so well before the Stones and fame and anything like that. And got married in 64 and had their one and only child, their daughter Serafina, in 68. And it's funny because the Stones had a no girls on tour rule that Charlie sort of thumbed his nose at because he brought Shirley and once his daughter came along, brought Serafina with him on tour. Maybe not always, but they did come with him on tour in spite of the no girls allowed boys club rule. And so it's like, oh, no girls allowed. Wait, I'll bring two. I'm gonna bring my wife and my daughter. Like, he's his own man. You get that vibe, especially with the infamous story of the time Mick Jagger pushed his luck. As the story goes, and I tried to research it and find the most accurate version I could, which this is like directly from Keith, so I'll take it as pretty much gospel. Mick decided he was gonna call Charlie at 5 in the morning. Keith was like, that is a horrible idea, don't do it, do not be that asshole, Mick. And Mick decided he was gonna be that asshole, so he calls up Charlie Watts' hotel room at 5 in the morning and declares, where's my drummer? There's no response on Charlie's end of the phone. But, however, about a half hour later, at Mick Jagger's hotel room door, there appears one Charlie Watts, dressed in polished shoes with a tie and a suit jacket and a button-down shirt and smelling of freshly applied cologne. And he sails through the door past Keith Richards, who answered it, approaches Mick Jagger, declares to him, I'm not your drummer, and then decks the ever-loving hell out of Mick. I mean, he punched him so hard that Mick nearly fell backwards through a window into a canal. The only thing that saved Mick's well-deserving of punishment hide was the fact that he was wearing a jacket that Keith had lent him. And so Keith, not wanting his jacket spoiled, saved Mick for the sake of his jacket. I'm pretty sure had he not had a jacket that Keith had worn at his wedding on, Keith would have just let Mick Jagger fall into a canal. I mean, he's not gonna get hurt too bad, it's water. But, you know, he's like, I must save my wedding memento. Who cares about the lead singer? He brought this on himself. I mean, as a family colloquialism goes, he was cruising for a bruising. That's a common phrase my cousins and dad will use. And very much applies to Mick Jagger in this situation. So, he was well deserving of being decked. And such a power move by Charlie. Like, just sails in, full dressed, gentleman's attire, and flattens Mick to the point he falls out a window almost. Required Keith to save him. Like, I think in the history of humanity, that is one of the biggest, ballsiest power moves ever. Just getting dressed as a gentleman, going downstairs, and smiting Mick Jagger in the face. Biggest power move of the 20th century. I dare someone to find a bigger power move than that. But yes, I mean, even, like you said, even in that situation, he still behaves utter consummate gentleman. Like, he didn't come down in his pajamas to punch Mick Jagger. No, he got dressed and put on cologne and gave respect and gravitas to the situation as he laid his lead singer out. Speaking of being well-dressed, that is one of the other great contributions to culture that Charlie Watts gave us, aside from his wonderful drumming, is his sense of style. The man is consummately stylish and classy looking. You never see a embarrassingly dressed photo of Charlie Watts. He actually refused having a stylist because he did not like the idea of being dressed for occasions. He didn't want to be somebody's Barbie doll, basically. He was sort of like, you know, you dress for the day. He took inspiration by his own words from Fred Astaire, who, you know, if Fred Astaire wore an outfit, it was the outfit for the day. It wasn't for the occasion or a particular part of the day, and changing clothes like you're, you know, some girl's play doll. It was, this is what I'm wearing, and I'm wearing it for the day. And so that's what he did. I mean, you think about other iconically fashionable and stylish men, and they all sort of run in that group. I mean, Cary Grant, Gregory Peck, Clark Gable, Dean Martin. They're all just Frank Sinatra. They're all just gentlemen in attire, just consummate gentlemen. I mean, the outfits that were worn by those men, even though that's the 40s and 50s, would still look dapper and stylish and timeless on a man today. And Charlie Watts was very much in that grain of just dressing, you know, for style, not for fashion. So it didn't matter what was trendy or what would catch attention, it was just dressing like a gentleman. And very inspirational. Like I said, I think I mentioned Vanity Fair inducted him into the internationally best dressed Hall of Fame. And he's just so stylish. Like, you look at him, like, there's a picture. I saw this. It was sort of a meme. I saw this like 6 months ago. And it was a picture of the Stones. And it was sort of like, and only one of them is dressed like a normal, you know, man in his 70s. And of course, that was Charlie, because, you know, Mick had some outlandish outfits on. Of course, Keith, I don't know that he's ever dressed normally much in his life. So yeah, it was Keith and, you know, the rest of the Stones were all outlandish, and Charlie was stylish and classy, as he was in all things. Like I said, he, you know, his devotion to his wife is very much probably one of the most admirable things of his whole life, to me at least. It says a lot when you've got all those opportunities to, you know, do wrong and you choose to do right. And also, it was his love for his wife, Shirley, that got he got into drugs in the 80s for about a couple of years. He was big into speed and heroin. And it was his love for Shirley that got him to go sober because he realized he was losing her by all these destructive behaviors he was, you know, having from drugs. So, you know, it's always heartwarming. It's like tales of, you know, Joe Perry, where Billy, you know, inspired him to stay clean, and, you know, or Alice Cooper, where Cheryl, you know, was his inspiration to lay off drug use. You know, heartwarming when, you know, it's proof that romance is real, which always makes me happy. And he, sorry. It's getting late at my time, my brain's a little foggy. One of his other gentlemanly pursuits, and a timeless pursuit, most, you know, you think of poshy old gentlemen from, like, Mr. Darcy or something, is he bred horses. Him and his wife were into equestrian. At one point, they had a herd of Arabian horses that exceeded 250 horses, which that's not just a small fortune running around on four hooves. That is a small fortune to feed them. Not a small fortune, a large fortune. I was reading up on this because there were a couple of, you know, not obituaries, but whatever, those kind of things, like memorial articles on Charlie Watts from equestrian pages, especially for Arabians, because he bred Arabian horses, especially Polish Arabian horses, which I don't know what that distinction is compared to regular Arabian horses, but it's cool. And like, one of them was like $700,000. And I'm like, for a horse? That's a lot of money. That's a nice house. So, or it may have been like a lot, but still, it was like, okay, this is definitely some big spending going on. So while he didn't go super flash with, you know, yachts and whatnot, he, equestrian was his big money pit. Of course, when you're breeding them, they do make some, returns financially other than they would otherwise. But yeah, so equestrian was his other pursuit. In fact, he didn't like going on tour so much because he had to leave the farm where they had their herd of horses. They also adopted rescued greyhounds. Him and Shirley did, so that's a nice, heartwarming, you know, thing that they were, you know, interested in animal welfare. In addition to raising and breeding animals, which I'm sure, you know, those horses were probably very well looked after. And other than that, there isn't a whole lot of, like, high roller activities by Mr. Watts, other than he did own 4 luxury cars, none of which could he drive, because he couldn't drive. I assume he had a chauffeur, or, I mean, honestly, cars are just nice to look at, so they're kind of, depending on what you've got, they're kind of a work of art. Like, if you've got some old Rolls, or in my opinion, a muscle car from the 60s, you've got a work of art, whether you can drive it or not. So that was his, you know, hobbies and pursuits. And aside from being drummer in the world's greatest rock and roll band, and loving, you know, jazz, and having those solo projects with the Charlie Watts Quartet and Tentet, that's, you know, some fun facts about Charlie. So sad to have lost him. It's astonishing to think about, you know. I mean, it's been over 50 years since the Stones lost a founding member. So. Sad, sad week. Especially also losing the Everly brother. I want to say his name was Don Everly. I'm not super up on my Everly brothers, but that was also, you know, just a couple days before Charlie died. And so, that, you know, that's my ramble for this week. It's, not the happiest one. I will let y'all know, or warn you, depending on how you want to look at this, that, next month, so starting next Sunday, and for the entirety of September, every, ramble this in the month of September will be related to Bruce Springsteen, because his birthday is in September. And so I am celebrating Springsteen all September. So we'll call it Springtember, and get ready for some rambles about his songwriting, his stage performance, and whatever else happens to come to my mind. And I will be back with all that. Be sure to check out my Instagram and Facebook and subscribe. Here and wherever you choose to listen to my podcast. Like I said, it's on Spotify and it's on iTunes, and all you gotta do is search Ramble On with Rosie. And if you have some other place you enjoy to listen to podcasts, just drop me a comment here, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, and let me know, and I will see if I can get it up to feed on there as well. And so, with that, have a great week. Go check out some Charlie Watts. Definitely check out the video of him dancing. If you just search on YouTube, Charlie Watts dancing, it's adorable and heartwarming and precious. And if you go on my Instagram, my episode of Thundercrack Thursday, my little shorts I do about dancing and dance songs, I did one about what I am dubbing the Charlie Watts wiggle, and I even tried to do my own impression of the Charlie Watts wiggle. So go look at the man himself do it, and if you want to, you can check out my Instagram at Ramble On With Rosie, and you can see me do my version of the Charlie Watts wiggle. And so y'all do that. Have a great week, and be kind to each other, and I will see y'all next week, and enjoy and rock on.